I got the press release yesterday for this Ozzy thing, the No More Tours. Because I guess he's done. He's going to do, I think, some, like, after the tour is over, which I'm sure will take a while, he's just going to do one-offs here and there. He'll probably do, like, a Vegas residency a little bit, and, you know, and do it.
That's good for Ozzy.
A festival here, a festival there.
Travel.
But it put me in, it put me back, right away, back in 1986, which was the first time I ever saw Ozzy. It was with Metallica. Mm. And then I saw him again on that tour with Queensryche. But... you know, it's funny, when you go to that first concert as a kid, you know, if you go as a kid and it's, you're wide-eyed and you can't wait to go to your first show, you know, you're talking about it with your friends.
Right.
And, you know, I think at the time I was 13 and you don't know what to expect. You know, I remember I got to the, it, for me, it all started when I got into the parking lot. And there was a car driving around, like an old Chevy car that was driving around with Ozzy is God spray painted on the side. And I'm like, what is going on here? And then there was,
everything's bigger than
as
life,
you're
right?
walking up the concourse, there's a guy, you know, you need hits, who needs hits, you need hits.
Right.
And I'm like, it wasn't until like years later where I realized, oh, acid. That guy was selling acid. But I can to this day tell you what that guy looked like. You know, I can tell you that he had long hair, ponytail, venom denim jacket on. Like I can see all of it. I can see that rusted car with the Ozzy's got, like, I see it crystal clear.
Yeah, yeah.
I can tell you my seats and my view for that show. And when you're that young and you go to your first concert, and maybe it's just for rock concerts, I don't know, but you don't know what to expect. And then you get in there and then the lights go off and it's more than you could have ever possibly fathomed.
Yeah.
You know, there's lights, there's pyro, there's, you know, you think you're just going to go see your one of your favorite bands play. And it's so much more than that. I mean, there were literally people lighting off M80s and Blockbusters and throwing them in the air. You saw the fuses lit in the air and then blowing up. It was, right, that wasn't,
that was such
even
a dumb practice. What was everybody thinking?
And that wasn't even part of the show. You know, that was just fans bringing in M80s and Blockbusters.
Right. Ozzy's not even on the stage yet.
No. And then, you know, Metallica goes on and Metallica is just like, and I'm sitting there. And that was the first time I had heard Metallica. I was going to see Ozzy.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and that was really the first time I've ever heard of Metallica. And I was like, what
that's a cool
is
first show. Yeah.
This? Yeah. You know, that was like one of those moments where you go out, you buy the album, you buy everything that came out before it.
Mm-hmm.
And, although it did take me a while to buy, like I used to go in and I'd see the Kill 'Em All album and they were on the back. So I had heard of them, but I never knew the music. I'm like, God, these guys are too ugly. And I would put it back. And then Ozzy came down and Ozzy comes down. You know, this was Ultimate Sin, so he was a little bit glammed out.
Yeah,
and he comes down in this big, giant gargoyle chair.
Right.
And he's just, you know, he's Ozzy. And to me, at that time, he was like, you know, just that.
My jaws on the floor watching this whole thing.
And I remember, I won't say it changed me, but I remember feeling like no matter what I thought, I would have never have dreamt that was what the experience was going to be.
Yeah, how old were you?
13.
Right. You can't picture it. I was 15 my first concert. No way I could picture it. Now, this isn't even like a metal show. This was Elton John in like 78, something like that. And at the Hartford Civic Center up in Connecticut. And it was a last minute thing because my friend's girlfriend's older sister, her boyfriend couldn't go. So she had like a seat and nobody go. And I loved Elton John as a kid. Like, you know, Benny and the Jets and Rocket Man and stuff were out. And it's Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. And I have the 8-track of his greatest hits. Like, how do I not go to this? And my mother says, yes. So we go. But it's a similar experience where I never expected the light show and he had pyro. He had all that stuff. Like, I didn't expect this at all. Of course, all his dumb costumes with his, you know, dressed with a big feather coming out of his head.
Right.
And he's in a boa and he's doing all this stuff. I mean, I was blown away by it because, again, you don't know what to expect. And you have this huge place full of people and everybody's into it. It's bigger than life.
Right.
By far. I would think, though, it's the same, though, for
pop shows.
I mean, it has to be.
Probably.
My daughter's going to their first show seeing whatever boy band it was. We're probably jaws on the floor, like, I can't believe looking around, you know, at 16,000 screaming people, you know?
It's just a moment where anybody who's ever been to a show can remember, especially if they went as a teen, you know, or a kid, can close their eyes and just go right back into that moment.
What was your first one, Monica? Did you go to a rock show or a pop show or what?
Bare Naked Ladies.
Come on. First of all, I have been to live Bare Naked Lady shows are the best. No, my first ever was George Michael at CNE Tower in Canada, because I lived in Buffalo at the time.
Right.
And
Was that like what we were just describing for the rock shows?
100%. It was. Yeah. I learned that first time because I was like, I have to be on the floor because I wanted to be close and everything. And for a short girl, just not a smart idea.
Right.
And I learned that time, but I still had. It's just phenomenal. It's funny when you were saying that, I was laughing because I remember my seat. I remember the people around me. You know what I mean? I remember seeing it and everything about it, and it was just amazing.
And you're a lifelong fan, too.
I was first row, upper deck, directly on the other side of the arena from the stage.
Oh, okay. So
you know,
that
so I really, you know, if I was like 10 rows up, I couldn't be any further away.
Right.
You know? But it was, you know, my mom called me up. I was at my friend's house, and my mom called that house, and she said, do you want to go see Ozzy Osbourne? I was like, yeah. And she's like, well, Mary, who she worked with but used to be my babysitter when I was younger. Like, yeah. I was 13 years old, and I went to Ozzy with my babysitter.
Oh, you went with her?
True story. Nice. Me. Oh.
Was there
my buddy,
a little crush?
No.
I don't know. Okay, what? No. That's a legit question.
Yeah, it's a legit question, but that's a legit answer. The answer is no.
She was like 97.
Oh. No, she was young. She worked with my mother. She was probably, you know, I think she's passed away since.
Oh.
If I'm 40, so she was probably 10 years older than me, maybe. Oh. Maybe not even that much. Mm-hmm. And, I just remember all of it, you know.
Why the guise of a babysitter if she's 10 years older than you?
Because I was 13 at the time of the show. So when I was, you know, 6 or 7, she was 16 or 17.
What was this the time that Ozzy
I had to be older than that. So I was probably 9 or 10, and she was 20 working with my mother.
Was this the time where Ozzy had Ozfest? Or was it?
No, it was way before Ozfest.
Oh, okay. Because I'm going to be honest with you. My first, not concert, but my first music festival rock experience was Ozfest in West Palm Beach back in 2001. Wow. And,
Is that the one with Marilyn Manson and everything?
Yep,
the first one?
Yep. Well, it wasn't really necessarily the first one, but it was the one, it was in Florida. So it had Black Sabbath, but it wasn't just Ozzy. It was Black Sabbath, Slipknot, Papa Roach, Linkin Park, from what I remember. Mudvayne was
there. Yeah, I went to that Ozfest.
Yeah, so did I.
Oh, man. I thought, you know, that was like my first rock experience. And after that, I was blown away.
Yeah, how do they top that?
Yeah, especially on West Palm Beach, and it was kind of like by the water and stuff like that.
Right.
And I was like 12 going on 13.
But it was outside.
Yeah, well, you see in the Tampa Theater or the amphitheater over here in Tampa, right, where it's like outside, but it has like a covering and then it has the stage. So it was kind of the same concept.
But when you went to that first, see the arena show where they, you see, because you didn't get that experience really until it got dark. So all those other bands were playing during the daytime.
Yeah.
They're not dealing with pyro and lights or anything else. At that point, you literally just have that band on the stage.
Yeah.
It's not till it gets dark out.
When it gets freaky out.
Where it gets, like where you get that experience.
Oh.
Whereas you're in an arena, it's just different. Those lights go down and, you know, all of a sudden you're just like, you know, information overload.
I remember when I saw that Ozfest show, it was in New Jersey, and in the arena that it was in, it's half at PNC Arena, which is still there. Half, there's lawn seating, and it had rained that day, and we had seats just in front of the lawn area. And I remember Papa Roach was on, and I don't know what prompted people to do it, but maybe they made a remark, get excited or something like that.
No.
And so they started digging up the lawn and throwing this mud.
Oh, yeah.
And just, it was an S show. It felt like it. Literally, just dirt. And it wouldn't stop. They had to stop the show for a few minutes until they stopped.
Yeah. A la Woodstock, what was it, 99, when Green Day was playing and everybody was pumping
whatever,
mud.
Yeah,
94. And was it? I guess it was 94. And they were pelting Nine Inch Nails, you know, with it, and lighting things on fire.
I like how that concert's about like love and like happiness, but then they have Rage Against the Machine on.
Right. Well, you know what it is. You know what they modeled it after. You know, the first one was Peace, Love, and Music, and they had the biggest artists at the time. Well, when they brought it back for 94, they had the biggest artists at the time. It just turns out those artists were way more angry than the ones that were, you know, hippies in the 60s. You know? Way more angry.
Yeah. I was at a Judas Priest Iron Maiden show indoors, but, and of course it's a metal show, but I've never seen this at anything ever. There, people started ripping the seat cushions. Yeah. You know, you sit down, the actual foam cushions from underneath the cloth, out of the, they were flying like Frisbees. Thousands of them.
What is happening? Why is everybody so angry at a concert?
I don't
know.
This was like 83 or whatever. I don't even know if they were angry. It was just a thing to do. Thousands. I've never seen it at any event ever.
That's not happening at a George Michael concert. I'll tell you that.
No, it's not happening. But I was at a Clash of the Titans tour, which was Anthrax, Slayer, Megadeth, and Alice in Chains was somehow on that bill. And Slayer went on stage, and they were doing the same thing. This was at the Garden, and they had just redone the Garden that first time. And they were just throwing it. And Slayer's like, they're never going to let us back.
That's
stop
true.
Throwing the seat cushions. And nobody was listening. It was just like, foom, foom, foom. And for a long time, Slayer was banned from Madison Square Garden. Man. You know, now when they come in, they do the theater at Madison Square Garden, but not the main arena.
There wasn't even like a power outage, a band not coming on, somebody sick. I mean, it was nothing.
Right.
It was just people found something to do and then copycats. And it was not 100. It was thousands.
Does that ruin the time for you? I mean, to me, I'm like, gotta look out now. It didn't
at the time. They were just seat cushions. It was funny. You know, to see them flying through the air was actually funny.
There's a show
but
going
they
on,
covered
people.
Everywhere. It was hard to walk out. There were so many cushions. It was hard to walk. Because they couldn't get to the stairway. You're walking on these puffy cushions trying to walk out of an arena. It was really messed up. I can't imagine the tens of thousands of dollars of damage.
Hey, Todd on line one. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, I was just listening to you talking about your first concert experience. So, 84, Judas Priest, I wanted to say it was Screaming for Vengeance tour. Mm. And, just nuts. As loud can be, and the tailgating in the parking lot, and then I don't know, fast forward 20 years and I saw a short film called Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which was, it's incredible. I showed it to my daughter who's now 18 and I'm taking her to go see Coin and Surf Fly. And I'm like, you know, the tailgating before these heavy metal shows was just out of control.
Right.
Yeah,
everybody weighed 85 pounds. They drank little Budweiser. Remember the old Budweiser bottles that were just short and fat?
Mm.
Remember those?
Little stubby bottles. Yeah, when you got the long necks, it was a big deal. Like, wow, the bars would have the long necks and then collect them back because they recycled them.
Right. And then, guys had half shirts on.
Yeah,
Metallica!
My daughter's dead. Did you look like that? I'm like, woo! Yeah, I'll show you some pictures.
Dude, I went to when the Black album came out for Metallica, I went to a listening party. They weren't even playing. Just to hear the new Metallica album, mm-hmm. sold out. Filled. They gave out free. It was free to go. You had to go to your record stores to get passes.
How cool was that, though?
Packed Madison Square Garden. Yeah, fully packed.
Just to listen to it.
And all the band did was come out at the very end and say, hey, thanks for listening. And that was the end of it.
Mm.
But the place was going bananas. Absolutely bananas.
Dave is on line three. Hey, Dave. Roger, JP, what's going on?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to say I was at the Woodstock in 94, traveled from Florida up to New York, and it was a great show. We were a baseball throwaway from the North stage, and you are correct. During Green Days when they started throwing the mud, and there was no problems at that Woodstock whatsoever. It was the one 5 years later that they did at the airport hangar where they had a bunch of just two wild things. Like, basically, it was
corn, Limp Bizkit.
It was ridiculous. But the 94 one was all, like, you know, the Allman Brothers and Joe Cocker and Santana. And there was no fighting, no anything. It was the most peaceful, awesome time I've ever had. And like I said, they just never should have done it. They waited 25 years to do a reunion, and they did not need to do another one 5 years after. It just became
night. That's the one where they burned the house down. Jesus,
yeah,
they actually
raped a couple girls there. I mean,
serious?
It was out of control.
Oh, my God.
So I think over 5 or 6 counts of rape. There was assaults, burning. They took a bunch of pallets and stuff up there, and they burned. There was like a 50-foot flame. I mean, it was... It was out of control. They'll never have another Woodstock because of it.
No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't either. Thanks, Dave. Hey, we got a lot of people on hold, but we got to take a break. We're Roger and JP on 102.5 The Bone, Real Raw Radio. We'll be right back.
We're just talking about, you know, once your first concert and the experience is always, I think, it's always amazing if it's your first one because you're so blown away by it. Yeah. Pretty much no matter what kind of music you go to, it's just an assault of the senses, really.
The reason it came up is because, we got the press release yesterday that Ozzy's doing his No More Tours 2 tour because he's going to give up touring after this one. No new album. He might put out music and he might do a single show here and there, but that's it. That was just the first show I went to, so it just triggered everything. I was triggered, Raj.
That's right.
I was triggered.
We got people with stories. 800-771-1025, 727-579-1025 are the phone numbers. James is on line 6. What's going on, James?
Yeah, my first concert that I actually went to, I just moved to Florida from California, and it was a punk rock show, and I jumped into the mosh pit, and the lead singer jumped down and clear-clocked me and knocked me completely out.
That was your first show?
First show. And then three weeks later, we went to 97X had their next big thing, and I got a concussion because the pit fell and someone threw an elbow and caught me right in my temple.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I always wonder what happens because there are a lot of elbows thrown in those pits. I'm like, how does somebody not get? Well, I guess that's what happens right there. You get a concussion.
I mean, elbows, fists, knees, I mean, everything.
Why do you go?
I love you guys.
Huh? Yeah. I never understood why you go in the pit when that's what it is. I mean, you've just got to want to fight, right?
I used to love it. And every time I see it now, I want to go in, but my body's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, you know better.
No, I'm 46. I get my ass beat.
Thanks, James. You know. Emily is on line 5. Hey, Emily.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey, when I was 13, I lived up in Boston, and I went to a Monster Jam concert. And it was Ja Rule, Ashanti, Usher, and Kanye West. And everything was all poppy and cool. And then all of a sudden, Kanye comes on and he starts playing Jesus Walks. And everybody's like just beating each other's butts. Like, it was scary.
Oh, man. What made the brawl break out, though? Is this the mood of Jesus Walks? I can't even figure that out.
I don't know why. It was maybe people were mad at Jesus or, I don't know, mad at Kanye. I don't know.
Maybe that's what it was.
I don't know. I guess maybe Boston people don't like, you know, songs about Jesus. I don't know.
They are an angry people.
They're crazy people for sure.
Thanks, Emily. Let's mosh! Come on! Bobby, I'm going to hit that guy right in the effing head. David's on line 4. He's got a story. David, is this from your first concert, or is this just a disaster at a concert?
I just saw the concert at the Irons, by the way. I grew up just outside Knoxville, and the Coliseum was the place we always went, about 10,000 people. But before every show, it was always people tossing toilet paper rolls or throwing frisbees. That was about it. You know, nothing to hurt anybody.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the toilet paper rolls.
Before the show started.
Yeah, yeah, we'd leave a nice tail, is it? Yeah.
You guys were pussies.
And what about beach balls? Did you throw beach balls?
That was in the shows, yeah. I remember Metallica used to drop those. Remember that, Brett, when the Metallica used to drop those black beach balls down? They did it at Death Magnetic. I don't know if they...
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe it was 10 years ago already.
Believe it?
I remember at a Metallica concert for either Load or Reload. I thought at some point during the show, the stage just starts collapsing and exploding. And it looks so... I thought it was real.
Are you talking about...
You thought it was a problem?
Are you sure you're talking about that?
I thought there was a real problem going on.
Are you sure you're talking about that one or Justice? Because
no. They might have done it then.
They started blowing up Lady Justice and everything's falling apart around it. It looks like an earthquake.
They had some guys climbing up the rafters looking like, some of the lighting guys or something like that climbing up the rig. And all of a sudden, sparks and an explosion. And then the guys hanging from the rig. And they start running off stage. I'm like, there's no way this is real. There's no way this is fake. My friend's like, yeah, it's fake. It's fake. I'm like, are you sure? And obviously, it turned out it was. But they played that thing up really well.
Oh, yeah.
Thought they got me, and I'm sure they got a few other people, too. But that was just insane.
They were on the Warped Tour. I remember it went during either Load or Reload, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, I am in the wrong place. I am in the wrong place. I mean, they always do those things where they test themselves and see what they should be doing. And
right.
I think they were caught in that Load and Reload in a little bit of an identity crisis. That was when they shaved their head, they cut their hair and put on Cuban pimp suits and, that nonsense. I'll tell you what, the first time I was scared at a show was Danzig, because I went to see him in not a small club, but I went to see him at this place called Roseland. It holds a couple thousand.
Mm-hmm.
And we were up, it's all general admission. And Caius, mm-hmm. which ended up being the guys in Queen of the Stone Age,
mm-hmm.
Was the opening act, and I didn't know who they were and didn't really care. And then, when they were done, you just start moving your way towards the crowd, and everything is cool, and now I'm all of a sudden, before we know it, we're up against the barrier right by the stage.
Ooh, that's a bad place to be, right?
Well, I didn't think so. I thought that was exactly where I wanted to be, front row, right up in the front. And all of us, like, they're playing the intermission music, and it's AC/DC, and it's whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, they start playing Slayer. And all of a sudden, it's just moving. The whole crowd is just moving in unison, back and forth, and back and forth.
And you're going with it no matter what, right?
And then the lights, with the Slayer ended, the lights went out, and the rush, poof, forward. Next thing you know, my chest is up against the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't
breathe.
That's
the worst place to be.
I couldn't breathe.
Oh, my God, really?
I literally stopped, dropped to the floor.
Yeah, you let yourself fall to the floor.
And crawled down to the side, probably about 30 feet.
Oh, my God.
And crawled out of there.
Wow, you came close. I'll tell you what. That's really close.
That experience absolutely sucked. And then I went all the way to the back of the place. I'm like, I'm just going to hang out here.
Yeah. No, I'm fine. It was cool. Yeah. I'm not into it.
I saw Rage Against the Machine. They were doing 5 nights at that venue. So like you said, it's like 2,000-3,000 people it holds.
Right.
So they were doing 5 nights.
But it's general admission.
It's all general admission. And there's a bar on the left.
Yeah.
And then there's a wall on the right. And
the bar is in the back. There's no bar.
There were two. There was a wall and a bar on the left. And you're right, there was a bar in the back too, a smaller one. But either way, you are not going anywhere if something breaks out like it did here. The entire floor for this show for like 2 or 3 songs was a mosh pit. You could go all the way to the wall. It didn't matter. It was finding you. I've never seen anything like that. It's small in the middle, a little bigger. I push back. I'll step back a little bit. Nope, I'll step back more. Oh, my God, I'm up against the wall. Make it stop.
I don't want to die.
I just want to watch the show.
I don't want to die at Roseland.
Please.
Alex is on line 3. What's going on, Alex?
Yeah, my first show, probably 16 years old, my buddy was able to get us to sneak into Gwar and the Gin of Torturers. Never been to a show before, never seen them, never even heard of Gwar. Get there, and I'm sure you're familiar with Gwar. Their show was insane, to say the least. And then the Gin of Torturers, they're up there with their, like, bondage suits on. They're pulling people up on stage and doing all sorts of whipping them, putting them on wheels, spinning them around, and it was going crazy. And I'm a scrawny little 16-year-old kid. I decided to try and get into the pit, My buddy thought I was crazy. Well, I run in, and I ran into a wall of a man, a 400-pound Samoan dude. This guy literally picked me up over his head and just threw me. I'm talking, just launched me like a rag doll across the place. Oh, and I got out and was like, yeah, that might have been a bad idea. But it's a wild first concert, for sure. Nothing's added up to it since then. I've seen Gwar probably another 10 times, but it definitely set the precedent pretty high.
If you guys don't know who Guar is, look up G-W-A-R. Just check it out. It's they're nuts.
Right. My little cousin loved
it. God, what awful racket.
Cousin yep. John, I wish you'd see Guar because he's, I guess, 6 years younger than me, and we were real young. He's like, he calls me up. He's like, Cousin John. I'm like, what's up? He goes, I went to see Guar last night. I got Guar blood on me. It was amazing. I was like, you went to see who? He goes, Guar. I'm like, the guys with all the costumes on and everything? Yeah. He's like, yeah, Otis or whatever his name is bled all over me. What is it? Odorous Among Us or Fungus or whatever the hell it is?
Awesome!
Yeah, he was a little dude at the time.
Go to line five. Debbie's on line five. What do you got, Debbie?
Hey, first concert that I had gone to was the Ace Frehley Got Electrocuted with Kiss. In Lakeland.
Really?
Yeah. The first song, he's up on the scaffolding that looks like Castle Rocks, and he got zapped. They stopped playing. They continued the song, stopped after that, turned the lights on, said that he was fine. He'll be back in a few minutes. About 5 minutes later, brought him back out, and they finished.
Oh, man.
But he got completely knocked unconscious.
Man, when you get electrocuted, knocked unconscious on stage, how do you trust again?
You
drive the road and you put your guitar back on and you're like, everything will be fine. Yeah? Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's a weird one. Thanks. I saw one time with the, we were talking about throwing the M80s. Somebody threw an M80 and it landed from the upper deck, threw it, and it was coming down right at the stage. And ZZ Top was there. And Dusty Hill, the bass player, it blew up next to him. I mean, knocked him on his ass. And he stood up, and he was like a punch-drunk boxer walking around. And the band, the other two guys are still playing in his bass. And he was, like, shaking his head, like, when a dog does that with their ears. And stumbling around. And he finished the show somehow. And I saw him years and years later, and he still remembered it. And he said he lost part of his hearing in that ear from that one time.
Oh, you brought
it
up?
I asked him about it. I said, do you remember? He goes, do I remember? Because I lost some of my hearing in that ear. It was... probably 20 feet is too far away from his head.
Right.
It was so close, and it was giant. And he's a big man.
Oh, so it didn't even, it didn't blow up on the stage. It literally blew up in the air
by his head.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I saw it from a distance. I mean, I felt like it was next to his ear, but he said, no, it was like over here, but it blew out some of his hearing. It was horrible.
You know what? I would love to see.
He's still playing.
Here's the thing, like what I was saying before, that I was, when I went to that, Ozzy Metallica show, and I saw the Blockbusters and the M80s blowing up, and I was just like blown away. You got to realize, too, I grew up on a block.
Mm-hmm.
Where on the 4th of July, the guys across the street and the guys at the end of the block, they would have M80 and Blockbuster fights with slingshots. So you would have thought maybe so I might not be that, wowed by the whole thing.
Right.
But I was just like, because I'm like, why would anybody, now you got to realize, I'm 13, and I'm sitting there going, why would anybody try to blow people up? Like, why are you...
Well, that's common sense.
Because some of them didn't blow up in the air. Some of them landed and went boom.
It was a thing in the 70s. You can hear it on some of the live albums. 80s. You can hear stuff going off. I guess it got into the 80s, but around 1980, Nugent was going around, and it was happening so much. They banned him, plus general admission happened, and they banned that.
Right.
But the fireworks happened a bit. So I only remember really from the 70s. In the 80s, I didn't know it was still going on, but I mean... I'm sure it did. I didn't
sure
see
as
it.
Hell was.
Oh, my God.
Like, what the hell?
Man? I don't know why we thought it was so entertaining to watch him go from the upper deck and blow up in the air like, wow, that was cool. What is stupid?
You know what was entertaining? Allman Brothers. I am in the front row for the Allman Brothers, and Dickie Betts was still in the band, and something was going on with his sound, and he started pointing violently to his amp or his guitar, to his guitar tech, and I guess his guitar tech was either ignoring him or not paying attention or didn't see him. Next thing you know, Dickie Betts is chasing his guitar tech. Chasing. And I'm sitting there going, this is the greatest show on earth. I've seen a lot of things at concerts. I've never seen somebody chasing their guitar tech.
Yeah, never seen
and
that.
With Dickie, you never know if he's got his gun in his back pocket, a knife he's going to pull on somebody. You never knew.
Finally, Alex on line six. Go ahead, Alex.
Oh, man, that was great.
Hey, Roger, JP, first-time caller. Love your show.
Man. Yeah, Alex, thank you, man.
Welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks. I was listening, and you brought back so many memories because I always share this story with a lot of people, and they freak out when I say it. But my first concert experience, I was 13 years old, and I got dropped off. I had no babysitter like JP did.
Right.
My mom would drop me and a friend off, and our first show was Twisted Sister at 13 years old.
Awesome. Right.
And that was an experience itself. That was during the Stay Hungry tour, so that's when they're all, glammed up and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second show I ever went to was I was 14 years old, and that was Power Slave Maiden.
Maiden.
Now, that experience alone with the pyro and the giant inflatable Eddie and all that stuff, I mean, that just blew my mind. And, you know, again, we were dropped off. It was at Lakeland Civic Center here in Florida. And, you know, my mom didn't think nothing of it. She just said, you know, go have fun. You know, call me on the payphone when you guys are done. You know, she'd stay at a friend's house over at Lakeland to come pick us up. Then another show, speaking of a bad experience, I think I was around, I think I was still 14. It was Anthrax, Exodus, I want to say Venom. And I decided to crowd surf. So I'm crowd surfing for the first time, and they drop my ass on the floor. You know, got a concussion. Then turns out that the show was stopped because the fans got so out of control, they broke the barricade down near the stage.
Right.
And I didn't remember what happened. I just remember just being carried home, unconscious. But, yeah, those are some of my early experiences, man. A lot of fun. And speaking of barricade, Megadeth, I got up to the barricade on during a P-Cell tour at, like, 14 or 15 years old, and I was just awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because, you know,
thanks, Alex.
And
good stories.
I know I'm speaking to the minority, but, you know, when Twisted was doing the Come Out and Play record, we found out they were doing a video in our town, in my town, because Twisted Sister is a Long Island band, and they were doing a video. We were on our bikes all over the place. They were like, yo, they did a factories. We're on our bikes going to the factories trying to find this video shoot.
You see Twisted Sister? Where are they? Trying to find
that video shoot, man. And the thing is, you know, about the minority thing, if you go see Anthrax, there's a point where they're playing a song called Indians. And Scotty just yells out, "War Dance!" And the next thing you know, there are mosh pits everywhere. And they're spinning and spinning. Like, if you look at the floor, there could be three or four different pits that happen like that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's almost like three or four different tornadoes. And boom, it happens right away. And I'm like, I used to be in that pit. I used to be in it, and now I'm old and decrepit, and I'm going to break a hip.
Get out of the way, old man.
You know? I'm going to break a hip. I can't do it anymore. I want to do it so bad. It's one of those moments where your mind knows what to do, and your body's just like, those days are over, bitch. You know? Those days are over.
Wow. Great stories. Yeah. Really good stuff. Roger and JP. 102.5 The Bone.
Man.
Real Raw Radio. 727-579-1025.
If you're of that age and you're like, you know, your band is coming into town and you might be a little bit young, it doesn't matter if you go with your babysitter, your old babysitter, whatever it is. Because my mother, I didn't have a babysitter anymore, but I was 13. She wouldn't let me go by myself. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't let me go with my friends. So that was an option. She was cool. She was a metalhead. She turned me on to a bunch of bands, so I was cool with it. So if you're that age and you're kicking it around, man, beg your mom to go. Beg your dad to go, because it'll be that first show, man. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, that's the greatest stories.
Nothing like that.
Roger, JP. It's The Bone. Real Raw Radio.
Roger and JP on 102.5 The Bone.